Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelband Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk with Rav Lightman about something very interesting, the chosen people. If to look at our situation as Israelis today in the world, it's not that favorable. It's deteriorating in our foreign affairs and everything else. And from here, we try to understand what is our place in the human puzzle. Do we have a place? What is it? In order to reach a better, more safe, secure life for us, for our children, to see something good in the future instead of clouds of war. Tal, please. Okay, so one of the strongest associations that pop up when you hear the term chosen nation to many people is actually the fact that our people throughout history suffered maybe more than any other nation. Yaron London, he had a show about it, and it has to do with the Holocaust, and the Holocaust maybe is something that symbolizes the people as being chosen, but it could be very negative. And we'd like to continue the talk about the chosen people and understand what is the connection between this role which we have, between the uniqueness which we have, and that all in all it seems that we're pretty suffering from it for many years now. It's true that we're suffering. We suffered also throughout history in general a lot because the development toward godliness is a development of man. And a person develops only out of pressure. Because if you cease, suppose if the environmental forces will stop pressuring a person, then he will stay without any movement. All of our movement is in order to leave the not-so-comfortable state and come to a more convenient state. And therefore, this pressure is pressure that comes to us in order for us to develop. It is one kind of pressure. Another kind of pressure, meaning it's pressure that exists to some extent on the still vegetative, animate, and especially on people, because they have to develop more, so they suffer more than animals, at least in their feeling. And of course, more than plants, and more than rocks. We think that rocks don't have something, that they suffer somehow. We'll discover that about them too. There is a certain deficiency to hold themselves together, and if you change it, then it is perceived as suffering, but on the still level. But of course, people, they suffer more than any other creature. Why does our people suffer more than any other nation? Because they're more developed than any other nation, and they also have a mission into which they have to develop in order to attain it. This mission is a mission that is more exalted than this world altogether, and accordingly, the pressure on us is vast. And that pressure comes to us from the higher force, which is called either nature or godliness. Godliness and its numerical value is equals nature. It's one and the same. It shows us that we want to attain that force, that we want to attain the force that withholds the whole world and the nature. It's one and the same. And our development is in, if we feel like we talked on the previous show, in the times of Abraham, our patriarch, we felt a very strong desire back then to develop toward the revelation of godliness. Like it was in the Babylonian Tower altogether, our desire is to discover our Creator. So Abraham, our patriarch, he aimed us correctly. He arranged us so. All those dozens of Babylonians that joined him, he taught us in what way can we can we realize this inner urge, desire to reveal the Creator, that's only on account that we suppress our ego, and above it, we open up the umbrella of love, connection, mutuality, that above that we will prepare the place for the revelation of the Creator. And once we started engaging in that, we rose to an even higher level. And then each and every detail, whatever we succeed in, that opens in us new horizons, and whatever we do not succeed in opens in us great suffering. So we've distanced even more from the still, the vegetative, the animate, and even further from people. As a more developed people, we suffer more. And as a people that has a special mission to be a home for all nations, for all people, to want to reveal godliness, we have to build out of ourselves this kind of a group, like a kli, like a big, nice, beautiful kli, that whoever wants can enter, you know, open your arms, and whoever wants can enter or hug and participate. Because the people of Israel, it's not a people like any other nation. A nation is considered according to their place of living or their history. We're only according to our mission, according to the future that we're drawn to. And therefore, it follows that we have to prepare for the whole of humanity a place to come to and study. Learn, what do we exist for? What do we live for? Why do we suffer? What will be the end, especially in our times, that humanity is really in such a rapid retreat, such a frightening retreat? And here awakens specifically our role toward humanity. And unless we speed things up, I'd say that we're falling behind in our development. By this, we draw upon ourselves those forces that we could have developed ourselves. And because we don't want it, these forces, they pressure us negatively. It's even like with a small child, that if he doesn't want to study, then his parents, they have to pressure him. And he thinks that they're bad, but they're not bad. They simply want him to succeed. It's the same here with the forces of nature. And each and every moment in our history, and our history is very clear and very precise. If in each moment in history we did not carry out what we should be doing toward ourselves and toward humanity, then that lack of realization, it starts pressuring us, it starts advancing us forcefully. And this could be problems up to wars and being expelled from countries and chased away and up to a Holocaust. It all depends on the extent to which we're falling behind in our realization of the purpose of the program of creation. I remember the Fiddle of the Roof movie where there were pogroms in Russia and Eastern Europe. And there's this place where Tuvia, the milkman, he talks to the Creator, he talks to him, and he has a hard life. And at a certain point, he tells him, well, maybe just once could you choose someone else to be your chosen people? We suffer so much from our role. And really, from what I understand, our relation toward this situation, this unique situation of ours, depends on our perception of why. Why do we have this special relation toward us? This special relation is perceived, but it's toward this special group in humanity that is aimed to discover godliness. Anyone who gets this awakening from any place or nation in the world, that this is awoken in him to unite with others in order to discover the Creator. He is included in the people of Israel, Israel from the world Yashar Kel, straight at to the Creator. He will also be under this pressure and won't be able to escape it. Our role, in accordance with the extent to which we are, the greater we are, and the more we, the more mature we are, or grown up we are, and reaching the point where we have to realize it toward the world, the more and more we'll feel pressure, hatred. And the nations of the world, they don't understand the reason for the hatred, but it's the same forces which we ourselves should have been running forward with and uniting. United, it's called going forward, it's to unite more and more and showing them, come with us, that we're not doing it, but you know, simply so, comfortably, we build for ourselves as if a tranquil life. So those forces, among the great forces, from the great forces, they start bring all the nations of the world upon us. And today, we are only at the beginning of the international pressure upon us. It's only the beginning. And God forbid if we don't succeed showing ourselves as those that are carrying out our role, we, God forbid, we will see great pressure. I want to see if I understand what you said. You're saying that the Jewish people, the chosen people, are the people of the Creator, and they have to bring all the people in the world to the Creator, closer to the Creator, right? Yes. Okay, if they do it, then everything's fine. If they don't do it, begin pressures. Why? Because they were given a role and they're not carrying out their role. The system's pressuring, putting pressure on them. And from here comes all the pressure which we suffered throughout history. Yes. Okay, now if we want to go back on this consequence which we have shown here, if we want for the suffering to stop, then we have to come back to the root of the chosen people, see the definition and what is the task. And if I go back to this, then the task is for the chosen people of the Creator to bring all the people of the world closer to the Creator. Yes. Okay, we're not living in ancient times. We're living in the modern world. So wherever I, whatever I look at today, there's no lack for the Creator. The Creator, the only ones to talk about it are the religions, whatever religion it is. Today, millions are being murdered in name of the Creator. So where do you have the Creator? It's in different religious propaganda, but in the in the world, in the common world, there's no Creator. This is why I said that Elohim, in Hebrew, Creator, in its numerical value, is equal nature. It's one and the same, meaning this whole entire great big force that encompasses everything and sustains everything is called the Creator, Elohim. Okay, now this definition which you gave, which is very different than what people are used to thinking about the Creator as, it could be good for a scientist. No. The problem is something else. That this very force, that from our smallness in our mind and heart and our development, because of the smallness in this aspect, we can't ascribe this force to a feeling, to an understanding, to a force, to a goal, to a purpose, and a process. We think, force is like gravity, that it pulls you, and that's that. It's a physical force. We think only about ourselves, and we think that we are, that we have the mind, we have the brain, we have the thought. And we don't think about nature this way. And for this purpose, I'd be happy to send you to many scientific articles that today talk about godliness, about the force that develops matter. And this force has a preset program and a preset goal and develops us that we can't be in a random state. We develop randomly. It's not like according to evolution that however it comes, that's how it goes. And also in evolution itself, it's not how it comes and goes, because all the time the desires of each and every individual, of each and everything, they connect between them, they fight between them. Meaning there is a kind of a preset program here, which is very precise, only we don't know it. Today, science already talks about it. Okay, so what you're saying exactly emphasizes what I want to say, that you can talk about the Creator in two aspects, either in a religious aspect or, I don't know, scientific aspect, that people, scientists looked for the cause for everything, like Einstein looked for the Creator. So I don't understand how does the Creator, what does he have to do with my day-to-day life? I'm an ordinary person. Not some Einstein. What's its relevance if I'm not religious or a great... it doesn't have anything to do with religious or secular. Delete their mind and heart. Has nothing to do with this. The thing is simple. You are. In the real... You live your life. Yes. Okay. You... throughout your life, go through different phases in your development? Yes. Along with humanity? Yes. If you know how you develop and how humanity develops, then, in accordance with that, you build your life in a more successful manner. If you'll know what the tomorrow is and what's going to be the day after and what is it all headed toward, it's like you come to me and you ask, I have a son. Soon he'll finish school. What should he study? You ask? Yes. Okay. So you'll know. You'll know how to study, what to study, what to buy, what to do, and how. Each and everything you'll know in advance. Why? Because you know the general plan of what you're going through. Then you're already in this flow. So each and every one has to do with it. Why are we not successful today? Like the blind, like humanity with this kind of technology, with these forces, with this great suffering that we went through, with such a great experience, such a bitter experience. Why are we like, why are we so blind that we do not know the plan? Look, you don't have to keep anything from all that you hear about, like religion or whatever. You don't have to bow to this higher force. I'm telling you, you have to know him in order to make your life easier, better, and to prepare an even better life for your kids, and not that from one generation to the next we see life becoming worse and worse. It's for sure that our children are more miserable than we are, undoubtedly. Say, 50, 60 years ago, we thought that life will be better, that humanity will attain and achieve and this and that, and there will be no more wars, and everything's going to be great and nice. And suddenly you see everything's the very opposite. So, from what I say in the recognition of godliness, it's the recognition of nature, the general program of opening your eyes to see where do we really exist, what controls us, and what system of forces, network of forces we are in order to succeed. Something that is so needy for humanity these days, which really suffers. We feel ourselves coming into such ties one with the other, and the global connection, and not knowing how to get rid of it. Europe wants to start separating now. Separating how? They'll suffer tremendously as a result, because they don't know in what way they could unite in a good way for everyone to be well off. So that very program, how to connect to good for good, is called the Wisdom of Kabbalah, and I recommend everyone to study it. Everyone. Because each and every person wants to succeed in life. He should know how. And by this he will not stand in the way of others. It will not be on account of others that he steps on them or something. Therefore, the chosen people, is that we have this program. We have to acknowledge it. And also chosen in terms of we need to pull the whole of humanity toward it. And that we don't do it, we're hated and being pressured more and more. It's only the beginning of the pressure. And each and every person, the smallest person, it has nothing to do with religions, neither Judaism, nor Islam, nor Christianity, nor the Eastern beliefs, or Western, or mysticism, or anything else. It has nothing to do with it. It has only to do with the revelation of the upper force to each and every one, and accordingly a person will no longer be wrong in life. Furthermore, he starts discovering a higher dimension. He starts revealing how we don't end our life here, because more or less for several years, look how many people commit suicide and do it happily. Look what's the use from all the wars, from all the suffering. While you're alive in your current state, you can rise to the following level. Because it's not a physical level, it's the level of attainment, it's an emotional level that you rise to, a dimension where you open new horizons and new world. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah invites you to. This is called to connect with upper force, to attain it, to attain eternity, the perfection that exists in nature. Which means that besides having a certain very heavy obligation, there's something good about being the chosen nation. I heard Moti Kirshenbaum talk about it. He's a TV personality. He says, why is it worthwhile being a part of it? We can't escape this role. We simply can't. We can't. Neither us nor the 10 tribes that we lost almost 3,000 years ago. We can't escape it. But we have to keep it. And it's not up to us. We all in all have to see where can we add in us some kind of participation, that by this participation we reach a good, pleasant life, that everyone appreciates us, understands us. Not that I have to be above someone. We appreciate it in terms that we listen to that same goal, the same process, and you can't escape. You can't escape this role. To realize that you have to. It won't help us to live or die, but to realize our message, what is upon us to do. Avi Becker from the Tel Aviv University says that the only content that the people of Israel have in all of the generations is for the time to come, that all shall acknowledge that we are a chosen people. Chosen for what? Chosen for what? In laying the flank trees praying next to the Western Wall. He doesn't do it either. What is the remedy about? He says that he doesn't know, but that it is an obligating role. What does it demand? So he should study the wisdom of Kabbalah. Okay, I wanted to ask in the moments we have left, if I understand these things correctly, then to be the chosen people, it means to reveal the plan of development of life and to operate accordingly. And from here to reach success in life in whatever field it is, if I know the program and I make an adaptation between the program and how I manage my life, then wherever I go, whatever I do, I succeed. So how does a person's life seem, a person who knows this plan? What is his day-to-day? How is it different from my day-to-day that I don't know this plan? He knows where he is. He knows where he is. How to correctly connect to all people, how to build from one moment to the next, a better infrastructure for a greater revelation of the higher force, and all the time advances toward the revelation of the upper force. And this fills him with knowledge and understanding, higher knowledge and understanding. All of his desires, all of his thoughts are about this, are in this direction. We aspire for it too, and what seems to you today that you are about to attain something. Food, sex, family, money, honor, something. This is also only a taste of the upper force. Can you explain? That today too, you live as a result of tasting, to some extent, godliness. Anything that brings you pleasure has a bit of the revelation of godliness. A bit. You want to feel it in a greater form, that it fills all of your desires, that it fills all your thoughts, that it opens all of your perspective toward the future. For this, you have to prepare yourself. And prepare yourself, it's called to connect correctly with the environment. This is something that I don't get every time you talk about. You mentioned godliness. I know that in Jewish history, the greatest people talked about godliness, were drawn to it, researched it. The greatest minds throughout all generations, the elite of the Jewish people, talked about godliness, thought about it, studied it. Now, I don't understand. You're saying that as if the chosen people is a people that have a role to bring the Creator to any person on earth. It doesn't seem to. I don't understand the gap between the peak of the Jewish brains throughout generation and the 7 billion people today. What 7 billion? 7 million in Israel, first of all. Okay, so the 7 million of all of Israel have to attain godliness and show everyone that they have this force, no problem. Everyone will feel it the moment the people of Israel will start moving toward the revelation of godliness. The whole of humanity will freeze this way. When will they attain it? Because after they attain it, we'll attain it too. Our time is up. Okay, so I'll leave my questions for the next discussion. Can you sum up, please? The chosen people are? The chosen people is a people that chooses the revelation of the Creator and taking care of humanity for this purpose, for the purpose of the revelation of the upper force, the general nature, to all of humanity. This is what we have to do. Then, truly, everyone will be happy. Above terms of time, place, motion, we come out to the next dimension. Thank you very much, Rob Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you, everyone. Be with us till next time. All the best. New life.